In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Lord, we thank you, and we praise you, and we glorify you. We give you all the honor and all the glory for this beautiful day, dear Lord, for gathering us in your house, for opening the doors of your church for us. We thank you, dear Lord, that you always accept us unto you, and no matter where we've been or what we've done, dear Lord, you're always calling us to grow closer to you. I pray, dear Lord, that you would speak to each and every single one of us this day, and let your presence really be felt amongst us, that each one can leave here feeling like they saw you, and they touched you, and they got a message from you. Pray and ask all this in the name of our Lord, God, and Savior, Jesus Christ, the intercessions and prayers of all of your saints. Hear us as we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. Trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Alrighty. Welcome back. I know it's been a while. We've been on a little bit of a break here from the Boundary series, but if you go back in time with me, I know for the last two Sundays we haven't had a Boundary session, but just to kind of catch you guys up, okay, we're here in the middle of a series called Boundaries, and many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with the book, okay, a very famous book and a very famous concept. And the whole point of this series that we started about a month ago, but we're only 2 weeks in, okay, is to take back control of our lives. And what we said is that many of us, if your life is like my life, okay, life is out of control. And you know that feeling of feeling like you're running 100 miles an hour and life is going 110 miles an hour. And the harder you try to catch up, the faster that treadmill goes. And that treadmill is your work and your school and your friends and your family and your job and your neighborhood and your whatever and your service and your church and your Bible and all these different things that you're trying to get done. And you try, you ever been like me, to try to fit 25 hours worth of work in 24 hours in a day, okay? I remember one time I came to the perfect solution for this problem. I said, you know what? God just needs to invent an eighth day. Okay? If there was just an 8 days in the week, it would be a perfect amount of time to get everything done. And it would be sometime between Thursday and Friday. Okay? Because those are the nice ones. Weekend. I work on weekends. I don't like those. Fridays. Fasting on those. We don't want another one of those days. I said, Thursday. It would be great to have a Thursday part two. Well, it isn't going to be any Thursday part twos anytime soon, so we need to figure out how to fit everything in to the 24-hour days and the 7 days a week that we have right now. What we agreed upon is that you're a hardworking person, and I'm a hardworking person. We're not lazy. So the problem is not lack of effort, okay? The reason why life is going so fast is not, it's not a problem of lack of effort on our part. Some people it may be, but the majority of us it's not. Problem is strategy. It's not effort, it's strategic. And that's where this issue of boundaries comes in. What boundaries is to define, excuse me, boundaries, like it sounds, is a boundary or a fence, okay? And it defines what is my responsibility and what is not. And some of us have a problem, there's like two sides, okay? Some of us have a problem where we're trying to take on stuff that is outside of our boundaries. And some of us have a problem where we're not taking care of stuff that's in our boundaries. So boundaries works both ways. It tells you what you are responsible for, and you should stop making excuses and waiting for someone else to do. And on the flip side, what it is that you're not responsible for, and what it is you can do nothing about. If you've ever experienced the feeling of, I have too much to do and not enough time to do it, that can't be from God. So one of two things has to be taking place. Either you're doing the wrong stuff, or you're doing the right stuff in the wrong way. That's where boundaries comes in, to figure out what we're supposed to be doing and what we're not supposed to be doing. We agree that boundaries are not walls, but boundaries are made of two components, a fence and a gate. Okay? Just like this nice stage up here has, let's assume there's an imaginary fence around here, but then there's also a gate to let stuff in and stuff out. Because some of us have bad stuff inside, so we need to let those things go. Okay? And we'll talk about what that means. Okay? And some of us don't have enough good stuff on the outside. So the gate is to let the good in and let the bad out. Okay? So the person who tries to take on everything himself needs to learn how to let some stuff out, get help, and let the good stuff in that he may be neglecting outside. So that was the first week. The second week we talked about is we saw that the root of our problems with boundaries, we figured out that we didn't become these out of control weirdos overnight, okay? That for many of us, our problems with boundaries and out of controlness began from way, 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 way before. And we looked back at our childhood and saw how the different way you were raised can cause you to be in different kinds of styles or anything like that. And what we agreed upon is that boundaries are not an inherent thing, they're a learned thing. So you learn how to have boundaries from your parents, from your teacher, from your buddies, and all that kind of stuff. Now I know this concept of boundaries is new to many people, and I've heard a lot of questions that people have been coming up and asking me about boundaries, and I came to the conclusion there's some misconceptions out there about what boundaries are. So I want to just go through some of them quick here today. The first misconception, or myth, which is that if I set boundaries, I'm being selfish. Okay? Is one that maybe some of you guys would think. That this boundary stuff is against, seemingly, like loving others as Christ loved us. And it's against denying yourself and being unselfish. And what about this whole thing about not living for myself and living for God? Boundaries seem to be a kind of self-centered thing, right? Seemingly. It seems self-centered. Well, actually, the exact opposite is true. Boundaries are not self-centered, and boundaries are not living for yourself. In fact, when you learn to have proper boundaries, you can be the most giving and loving and compassionate and caring person. Because boundaries is not self-centered, boundaries is God-centered. Okay? And what I mean by that is, the boundaries is not about saying, oh, this is great, when Anthony talked about boundaries, I don't want to do that, I don't want to do that, I don't want to do that, perfect, I have good boundaries now. That's not boundaries. Remember I said some of us have outside needs to come in and inside needs to go out. Boundaries is about going to my Maker who created me and created me to have 24 hours a day and 7 days a week and knows that I need to sleep, knows that I need to eat, knows that I need to kick back and relax, and knows that I need to exercise, knows that I need to do all these things. He knows exactly what I need to get done in my day, going to Him and saying, you define for me what I need to do and what I not need to do. You got to make the distinction between two terms, selfishness and stewardship. Selfishness is like what I said, I want this. Okay, selfishness is like a fixation on my own desires. It's what I want to do at all times. That's selfishness. That's not stewardship. Stewardship is a focus not on myself, but is a focus on what God has given me. God being the owner and me being the steward. And it's a focus on caring for and using properly the gifts that God has given me. Gifts of health, gifts of time, gifts of family, gifts of job, gifts of money, gifts of car, gifts of whatever. The selfish person cares for himself. The steward person cares for God and wants to make sure he uses God's stuff wisely. Let me give you a verse right here, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Why stewardship is important? Because you, like me, like we, must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Look at it this way. God is like the owner of a store, okay, who hired you to manage his store. He has the money, he paid for the building, he paid for the pizza, he paid for the rolls, he paid for everything, and he said, you're in charge, okay? And I'm going to leave you here with all this kind of stuff. I'm going to come back at the end of the week, and I'm going to judge you based on what you did. So if you took all the rolls and threw them out the window, you're going to be in trouble. And if you squandered my money, and if you set fire to the building, you're going to be in trouble. God is the same way. We have to look at life as the same way. As God is the owner who has given us everything. The Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. Everything that we have has been given to us by God, and it's our job to make sure that we use it properly. If not, then you have to expect there'll be a punishment. Boundaries is not about ignoring others. Boundaries is about taking good care and focusing and utilizing to the maximum what God has given me in the manner that God wants me to use them. You know, a person who had very good boundaries was our Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't heal every sick person, did he? He didn't get stressed out saying, oh my goodness, there's people over there, there's Native Americans across the Atlantic, and I didn't see them. He didn't say, oh my goodness, there's some sick people. There were people in the graves that died that he didn't raise, right? He only raised a couple of people. Why didn't he raise everyone? If that would have been us, oh my goodness, we'd have been really stressed out. We'd have thought, oh my goodness, I got to do this and I got to do all that kind of stuff. But our Lord Jesus Christ, look what he says in John chapter 17, verse 4. Great verse. It's at the very end of his life. He says, I have glorified, talking to the Father, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Our Lord Jesus Christ didn't try to do 25 hours worth of work in 24 hours in the day. He knew that the Father had set aside for him a certain work, and he did it faithfully and diligently, but he didn't stress out about the stuff that was outside of his boundaries. Okay? So boundaries are not selfish. Second misconception about boundaries is that if I begin setting boundaries, I will be hurting people. Okay? And especially, I'll be hurting the people that I care most about. No one wants to do that. So look, Abuna Anthony, let's be honest here. Okay? I got an Egyptian mom. Okay? I got Egyptian dad, Egyptian mom, Egyptian cousins, Egyptian everything. Boundaries is nice, and it sounds very pretty. I'm an upset mom, though. You want me to upset my mom? You ever seen my mom when she's upset? She gives me that look, and you know that look. And I can't take that look. And all of us, I will stuff my face silly, okay? And you will stuff your face silly when you come to my house just so that my mom doesn't give you that look, okay? She's going to say, eat more. And you're going to say, no, I don't want to eat more. And then she's going to give you the look. And you're upsetting me, and you upset my mom, and my mom's this, and my... You all know how it goes, okay? Those who know the culture know how it goes. So we eat, even though we hate the food, and we don't want to eat it, just because we can't upset moms. This applies to more than your mom, obviously. This applies to your friend who really, really, really needs to borrow your car. You don't want to say no. This applies to cousin what's-his-face, who just... This, I know I asked many times, but I just need a little bit of a financial help. Just a little bit. I know I asked many times, but this is the last time, I promise. This applies to that guy who needs you to listen. But this isn't the first time he needs to listen. Every single day, he's got a major crisis in life, and he needs you to listen. And regardless of what things that you have to do on your day, he needs you to listen. Applies to all those things. I can't set boundaries because I can't upset cousin, can't upset mom, can't upset friend. Here's your problem if you have this concept in your head. You're viewing boundaries in the wrong way. You're viewing boundaries as an offensive weapon, okay, which hurts other people. Boundaries are not offensive, boundaries are defensive. So I don't take my boundaries and beat other people in the head with them. Boundaries are meant to protect my land. Okay? Not to hurt someone else. Said another way. While setting boundaries may cause discomfort, it may cause awkward silence at moments, okay? It may cause a little bit of distance in relationships. It will not cause injury. Because remember, boundaries are not based on selfishness. Boundaries are based on stewardship, based on what God wants you to do. And you know what? There are some times where those adults who are responsible need to take responsibility for themselves. And there's times that you can't do everything for everyone. I'm not saying to be a selfish person and to be an inconsiderate, uncompassionate kind of a person. All this talk about boundaries requires wisdom and wisdom, okay? But what I am saying is that just the fact of setting boundaries, even if it causes some discomfort, doesn't necessarily mean it's going to cause injury. Remember Galatians chapter 6, verse 5 and 2, which we talked about in the first week. How St. Paul makes a distinction between two things. To bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, but also each one shall bear his own load. So we said is that we are to bear one another's burdens and we are to help those in need. And we said the word burden, if you go back to the Greek, it indicates like an excessive amount like of stuff that you have to carry by yourself. So in that situation, yes, we are to support the weak. But then three verses later, he says, lest anyone take advantage of this, each one shall bear his own load. And the word load is much different than the word burden. The word load means your daily duties and responsibilities. Again, it takes wisdom to differentiate between the two. But just the fact that you're setting boundaries isn't necessarily mean that you're hurting other people. They may say so, and they may imply so, and you may feel so. The bottom line is that you could even be doing what's best for them, not what's worse. Another verse I'll show you right here. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 and 23. Look, when our Lord Jesus Christ again set some boundaries, even if it may upset people. Immediately, this is, by the way, after the feeding of the 5,000, okay, in Matthew 14, where they all wanted to be around him, take his blessing, touch his robe, hang out with him, do anything to be around this man who's making free fish and bread. And look what he did. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Jesus, who said, "Let the children come to me," whose arms is always open wide open for everyone, sent the multitudes away? Yeah. Why? Because he was setting boundaries. What if someone got upset, and someone got zalan, and someone started to cry, and someone got this? Hey, each one shall bear his own load. This doesn't just apply to the cousin who's trying to con you out of money. This applies to legitimate and, like, good things as well. This applies to, like, the things that you do that are, like, even beneficial things, or people that are really in need. There are certain, the concept here is this. There are certain things and certain times that you should never, ever sacrifice. Okay? There's certain things and certain times. And our Lord Jesus Christ said that being by himself to pray was something that he was not going to sacrifice, even if some people got a little bit upset. Just as like a side note right here. This is why. This concept is why all of us need to make sure that we're not flying solo in life. Or we're not doing things Lone Ranger style. Which, what I mean by that is that we don't have a support network around us. Because there are going to be times when your only friend, okay, or that person that you rely on always, is going to need to set some boundaries. And he's going to need to say, "Excuse me, I need to have some time to myself right now." And I hope when that happens that you have something to fall back on. That you're not, like I said, the guy who's just depending on one thing. This is why we talk about small groups as being very, very important. So that you have something that you can fall back on when you hear that, when you have that boundary set against you. Another example that I think of when I see how God set boundaries, and even if it hurt other people, you remember when St. Paul, who was God's dearly beloved servant, had a thorn in his flesh, and he prayed three times, "God, take this away from me. It hurts too much." God said no. God didn't hate St. Paul, or he wasn't trying to destroy him, but he knew that in the long run, okay, St. Paul, this is something that St. Paul could carry, and it made him a much better person. So we shouldn't be scared to set boundaries either. Third myth, or misconception. Now's the flip side. If I set boundaries, not other people will be hurt, but I'm going to get hurt. Because other people are going to pull away from me. And some people aren't going to be as close to me. And some people are going to say, "Fine," and leave me. I need other people. I'm telling you, I know couples where one of the two controls the other person with, like I told you guys before, like an emotional kind of blackmail or a physical kind of a blackmail. Okay? And the spouse says, "Wait a minute. If I set boundaries, he's going to pull away from me. And he's not going to be close to me, and it's not worth the risk for me. I would rather just say yes to whatever he wants me to do." I know many people, like I said, who know the need for boundaries in their life, but are absolutely terrified of the consequences that it's going to mean for them. What's my response to this? Look, is it possible that some people will hurt you and will pull away from you and will withdraw from you when you set boundaries? Absolutely, positively, because you can't control other people, and neither can I. But here's what I will say, that if the only thing keeping you close to this person is your unrelenting compliance and you just doing whatever it is they say to you, how valuable is this relationship anyway? And how healthy is this relationship? Look here at Matthew chapter 19, verse 20 to 22. This is a story about when a young man came to our Lord Jesus Christ and said, "Lord, I love you and I want to make it to heaven and I want to be perfect." Okay, and the Lord said, "Keep all the commandments." He said, "I've done that since the day I was born." Look what it says after that. The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth, what do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. How do you think Christ felt when this man walked away? Happy? He had to be sad. Because our Lord Jesus Christ came for this man, and he loved this man, and he wanted nothing more than to save this man, and this man to love him and have a relationship. So if that's the case, why did he say this? Like, why didn't he say, you know, do your best. Go sell a lot of stuff. You don't have to sell everything. He saw the man was clearly upset, and the man pulled away from him. Why? Like, why be so tough? It's okay. The guy's a good guy. You know, with time, be patient. Our Lord Jesus Christ could have watered it down if he wanted to. But he knew that even though this was going to cause him pain, this was the right thing. So like our Lord Jesus Christ, what you will learn is that a relationship without boundaries can never have depth. And that was a problem with this man. This man didn't have the depth in his relationship. And our Lord Jesus Christ, when he told him this, was trying to take him to the next step deeper. And I'm telling you that if you have relationships in your life that cannot accept your boundaries, that cannot accept a no from you, that is not a deep or quality relationship by any means. That's very superficial, it's very unhealthy, and it's bad. And it's not a relationship that I think you should continue to feed and fester in that way. There's another time in John chapter 6 where basically the same thing happened. Our Lord Jesus Christ was talking to the disciples about his body as flesh and his blood as drink. Okay? Some people said, I don't understand this kind of stuff, and they left him. Said, we don't want to have nothing to do. This guy's crazy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And they went away. And our Lord Jesus Christ looked at the rest of his disciples and said, you guys want to go away too? What I'm saying is, setting boundaries and people accepting them is a step deeper in your relationship. When I can accept you, not just when you say what I want, but accept you when you say what I don't want as well. Fourth misconception, last one, is that setting boundaries means lack of faith. Someone told me this, that if I'm setting boundaries, then I'm limiting what God can do. God can do anything, and that's why I shouldn't set boundaries on God. Believe me, the exact opposite is true. Setting boundaries is not the lack of faith, it is the evidence of faith. Setting boundaries tells God, I know you're the one who's really doing the work anyway. I know you're the one who's really providing for me anyway. So I'm going to do what I need to do, and I'm going to take care of my business. I'm going to be responsible and faithful, but I trust that you'll do the rest. Some of us don't have enough faith to say that. Some of us don't have enough faith to set boundaries. Some of us say, you know what? I got to work 25 hours a day, and I got to keep on doing this. And I got, and I got, and I got, and I got. As long as you're saying, I got, that's against faith. St. Paul, look what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Or 1 Corinthians, sorry. I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. Good boundaries. Very good boundaries. My job is planting. Okay? Apollos, you got watering. God, I trust that you can do the increase stuff. Bad boundaries would have been, I got to plant, and I got to water, and I got to pull them out to make increase, and pray, and do a rain dance, and all that kind of stuff to make these things increase. That's how a lot of us live our lives. No trust in God. Trust is all in ourselves. And we say, no, we're serving the Lord, and we're being faithful, and all this kind of stuff. Boundaries is the evidence of faith. Because remember, in the end, we're just managers. We're not the owners. So after that little brief intro about misconceptions, I want to get into an area. The area that I think most people struggle with boundaries, have boundary problems, is when it comes to family and friends, is what I would say. Okay? Show you a little video clip here of some friends of ours who suffer from some bad family boundaries.
Oh, you scared the hell out of me.
What is that?
This is something that you're going to love. The humbucker spirit.
What, you bought it?
Yep.
You heard me tell the lady on the phone that we do not need a vacuum cleaner.
I know, but it turns out we really do. She showed me all the dirt.
You let her in here? Wait a minute. How good looking was this salesman?
You know what? She was quite good looking. But I'm not afraid to say that because that's how good this machine is. I would have bought this from an ugly man.
You are such a sucker.
X.
Okay, listen. You're calling her back and returning it.
Still skeptical, Mrs. Barone. Well, I don't want to frighten you, but this is what your old vacuum has been missing.
Wow.
It's what we call the wow factor. Build it right into the system. This is the filth that your family's been breathing. Now, you just dump it right down the drain.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Now, I'll show you how to do the drapes.
You're going to do the drapes?
No, silly. The humpback's going to do the drapes.
I have never been more attracted to you in my entire life.
Want to try? Your first time. I envy you.
I was passing by my window and I couldn't help seeing into your window. And I noticed you bought a new vacuum.
It's amazing what this thing picks up, Marie. And no bags!
No bags!
I am so glad this worked out.
What do you mean?
Well, when the sales lady called me and told me she had the greatest cleaning innovation since the broom, I immediately thought of you.
You sent her over here.
Of course.
I did not know that.
Well, you two enjoy. I would never want to interfere with housework.
Now might be a good time to tell you about the free eucalyptus room freshener.
Okay, so as you can see there, one area that a lot of us can relate to is when we have boundary problems with our family or our friends, okay? And I'm going to talk about both of them, and I'm going to give you three examples of what boundary problems in families and friends look like, and I'm going to need your help, okay, all the old school people here, because we're going to go back to the 80s today, okay? And I'm going to give you three boundary problems, and each one of them comes with a nice, catchy 80s theme to it. So the first problem is the trickle-down effect. The trickle-down effect is a very common struggle that I see with our generation. Because our generation sometimes, has like a conflict between cultures, okay, with our families. And what happens here in the trickle-down family effect is when one person, like I said, it applies to friends as well, not just family, but I see this one particularly more in families. When one person allows another person's, whether it's bad attitude or grumpiness or bitterness or whatever, to affect them too much. I'll give you the classic example. The classic example is the man and the wife. And they love each other and they're happy and everything's fine. Then they go visit the mother-in-law, won't say which side, okay? They go visit the mother-in-law and both come back grumpy, okay? Because what happened is the grumpiness of that house festered its way down, trickled its way down into someone else's life. See this also with friends, okay? There should never ever be anyone in life that controls you to that point that they can change your mood. And I know some people who anytime they talk to their mom, they come back grumpy. Okay, no matter how much of a good mood they were in, and they were happy, they were this and that, they called their mom on the other side of the country, and then they're instantly in a bad mood or something like that. I see this spiritually as well. That some people making gains, okay, and growing and progressing, hang out with a group of friends, 10 steps backward instantly. Okay? And what you've done in 2 years worth, you can undo in one spring break. Okay, or in one summer vacation or something like that. That's what I call the trickle-down effect. That's bad. That's really bad because, like I said, you should never give anyone that much control over you. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Applies to marriage, but it's a general concept we need to understand. A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. In marriage, very easy to see here. Okay? That you may not see, like let's say you're overly attached to your family. And let's say you're one of those people, I'm not saying it's bad to talk to your parents and love your parents. Do all that kind of stuff. But I'm saying, let's say you talk to your parents all the time and you don't think you're overly attached, but come on man, you're way too attached, okay, to your family. You don't see it as a problem before marriage. I guarantee you it'll be a problem after marriage. I guarantee you. Because now, you have a new family that you need to be attached to. That's what this verse is saying. And if this family is going through tough times and you let it always impact this family, it's not a good thing. Okay? So, boundaries are important because what boundaries do for us is boundaries lead to freedom. And when you learn how to set the proper boundaries, you can live a life of freedom. What I mean by that is, as far as your state of being and your state of emotion, okay? I control my emotions and I determine whether I'm in a good mood or bad mood, and I don't let anything anyone does affect that, okay? I'm not saying don't talk to your parents, and I'm not saying go and throw them out of the house. It's not what I'm saying. Everything with boundaries, like I said, requires wisdom and guidance, okay? And don't be foolish. Okay? We need our parents. We love our parents. Go parents. But we can't allow anyone, family or friends, to trickle down into our life like that. The second boundary problem that a lot of people have is living in the wonder years. Okay? What I mean by living in the wonder years is a person who thinks he's still Kevin Arnold. Okay? And he may be 27, 28, 29 years old, but still living the wonder years life. Parents support him, parents cook for him, parents feed him, laundry for him, whatever it may be. The reason I'm saying him is it's usually the guy, but not necessarily the guy, but it's usually a guy. Again, you, maybe a single young man, 22, 23, don't see a problem with this. Look here, man, trust me. You hope to get married one day, this will be a problem with this, okay? This will be a big problem. I know people, okay, who live in the good life, okay? No worries financially, driving a good car, living the good life, new clothes, even the parents buy them the clothes, parents pay the credit card bill, take care of them, eat out every single day. This is wonderful, living the good life. But there's one problem. They have no job, okay? And they have no money to support this good life, and it's only supported by their parents. This is a problem that you will have if your parents are very loving, okay? And out of their love, they may keep you in these wonder years, but to be honest, they're doing you more harm than doing good. You may love this life, okay, because you see no consequences now, but like I said, it's going to come back to bite you. I know an example, true example, I won't tell you his name, a real person whose mom, up until he was age probably like 24, 25, I'm telling the truth, and it's not me, okay, that's what you're wondering, whose mom peeled the skin off the grapes for him when she served him grapes. I'm not joking, I'm telling a real story, okay, his mom peeled the grapes, okay. Boy, if your mom peels your grapes, you think you're going to find a wife to peel your grapes? Okay? They ain't going to find a wife to do that. So I'm telling you, I'm advising you, stand up and peel your own grapes. Okay? Or better yet, suck it up and have the skin. It's not that bad. There's good stuff in the skin. But the point of the matter of fact is that we need boundaries, because boundaries, I know you can't see it down there too well, lead to independence. And we need to be independent people. I'll tell you the area that I see this in the most is really financially. Okay? And this is where it gets into friendship as well. Don't let anyone control you financially. And I'm against borrowing money. I'm against it. Okay? I don't believe in borrowing and lending. I believe in giving. Okay? And if someone is in need and you give, that's fine. But I don't like lending, because what it leads to is control. And even with the giving, if you're the givee, the recipient, my advice to you is don't do it unless you really, 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 really need to. And even then, don't do it. Okay? Because it's limiting your independence. Because it's hard to be emotionally independent and like, my schedule is independent and my life is independent when my finances are not independent. St. Paul spoke about this in Acts chapter 20. Verse 33 and 34. His like farewell speech to his disciples. He says, I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. St. Paul was doing a service to the people when he came and preached to them. And he had every right to ask for an income. As me, I serve the church here, and I get an income from the church. It's my right, and it's the right of the servant to reap from the stuff that he's sowing. St. Paul said, I don't want that. And he would come into a town, and he had no job, and he didn't have anyone paying his salary, and he would go build tents, and make tents, and then go sell tents, and then go preach after that. He said, I don't want anyone to control me. I want to keep my independence. I want to set good boundaries. So, I advise you the same thing. Both sides of the coin here. If you are the recipient of the spoiling, okay, and the getting too much, I would advise you that it's going to come back to bite you. And you need to learn how to set boundaries. And even if you struggle for a little bit, it's better in the long run. And if you are, since there's some parents in the room here, if you are the spoiler, okay, let me tell you that you're probably doing a lot more harm to your kid than good for your kid if you don't teach them how to have good, proper boundaries. I know parents who think that paying for the wedding gives you a right to come to the honeymoon, okay? It don't work that way, okay? So that's what I'm saying, clear boundaries, okay? Enough said. Third, and one of the best shows from the 80s, Three's a Crowd. I know this is a picture of Three's Company, but no one would know. You guys remember Three's a Crowd? Probably don't remember that one. So, Three's a Crowd, or a word which I invented, okay, which I actually discovered is in Microsoft Word accepts it in the spell check, which is triangulation, okay? Let me explain to you what triangulation is, because this is a very common problem in our culture, and it is very, very, very dysfunctional in relationships. This is where person A is angry at person B. They were friends, something happened, they're upset at one another. But because they want to be nice and they want to be whatever, they don't talk to each other about it. Okay? And they don't resolve it. They just and smile and this and that, and on the inside they're fuming. What they do is they find person C. Person A goes to person C and rips apart person B. Okay? And talks all this trash. And person C is happy. You know, he's trying to be like godlike. And he's saying, yes. And yes, come speak to me and I will counsel you. Yes. And he's taking it all in. He's happy that someone is trusting him and he's trying to be the spiritual friend. Person A now feels better. They at least got it off their chest. They go home, they sleep in peace. Person B is still fuming. So person B does what? Needs someone to talk to. Who does he go to? My man C. Because he knows my man C will be happy and inviting and welcome and tell me more and bring it all out. And let's pray together and prayer requests and prayer meeting. And he's being very spiritual about it. What you have here is what I call triangulation. Okay? Triangulation is where there's a problem between A and B, and you have a C who has no business in anything. Each one of these people has very bad boundaries, okay? And it needs to get fixed so that they can live a healthy life. First thing, let's start with my man C, okay? C needs to understand he's got no business in this situation, okay? And this is totally outside of his boundaries. This is between A and B, and if A comes to you, if you're C and A comes to you, go talk to B, because I'm not B, and I have nothing to do with this kind of stuff. And you know the definition of gossip, okay? Because maybe some of us are in the mood of thinking it's prayer requests. It's not prayer requests. Gossip is when you are not part of the problem, nor are you part of the solution. Okay? The person seeing this situation ain't part of the problem, and he certainly ain't part of the solution. So therefore, he has no business in this. And person A and person B, each one of them needs to have proper boundaries to take ownership of this problem and say, this problem is mine, and it's not C's problem, and it's something that me and B needs to figure out between him. What they're doing is just taking their anger and throwing it over there. And they're just coming up with like a band-aid, but it never solves the problem. What this will lead to, that we see very often, unfortunately, is niceness on the outside and shaking hands, kiss of peace, and hi, how are you, and all that kind of stuff, but on the inside is the exact opposite. That's bad. What we need is some biblical advice here. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. Have the proper boundaries. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone, and if he hears you, you have gained your brother. It's not complicated, it's very simple, but for some reason, it's very difficult for us to do. Sometimes it isn't going to work. And sometimes the person is thick-headed and is stubborn and all that kind of stuff. No doubt about it. But sometimes, and I think the majority of the times, this can solve a lot of the conflicts that have... Who has a conflict that's lasted 10 years, 2 years, 3 years, something like that? I'm telling you, a lot of them could have been solved very easily if the two people just left C alone and just A would have went and talked to B. Biblical boundaries lead to peace. Okay? Boundaries lead to peace. A and B needed to learn how to take ownership and talk to one another, and C needed to learn to step away and learn when he is not needed. Those are just 3 examples of the potential boundary problems that could take place in family and friends. Last thing I'll say, why is it that I need boundaries? If I had to summarize it, I need boundaries in my family and friends because boundaries lead to healthy relationships, and healthy relationships lead to a healthy life. Because life is based on relationships, okay? And you could have a good job, and a good car, and a good house, and a good whatever, but if you have no friends, you have no family, you hate your life. And there's people who have the exact opposite, who have no job, and no car, and all that kind of stuff, but if they have a loving, supporting family and friends around them, hey, that gets you through the day. The quality of your life will ultimately be determined by the quality of your relationships. And the quality of your relationships will be determined by the health of those relationships. In order to have healthy relationships, you need to have healthy boundaries. Like I said in the beginning, ultimately, boundary setting has a lot more to do with living for God than it has to do with living for myself. Because what it is saying, when it comes time to make a decision, this person needs money, or this person wants to talk to me about this, or I want to talk to this person about this, or I want to have my parents do this or do this, or whatever decision needs to be made. Boundaries put yourself in the state of mind that says, who's making the decisions for me? If God told me this is how I should live, then this is how I should live. And if that means mom gets upset, no one wants to upset moms, but I'd rather upset moms than God. And if that means so-and-so doesn't treat me as nice, if that means that I don't get a new bicycle for Christmas or whatever, if that means that I struggle a little bit, you know what? He's the decision maker, and I'm living for him more than I'm living to please others or please myself or just have like a superficial peace in life. What I hope is that every one of us can move to the point where obedience to God takes first... That's what boundaries is. Obedience to God takes first priority, even if it means that some people don't like it or it's different than what we're used to. Living for God always comes with sacrifice. Matthew chapter 10, verse 35 to 37. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Again, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying God is against moms and dads. That's not what I'm saying. Honor and obey your parents. Definitely, that's what the Bible says, and children, obey your parents in the Lord. But what I am saying, what this verse is saying, is there may come a point in time in your life where you have to make a decision. Whether it is to be, like, make my mom happy, regardless of what it costs me, or to do what God wants me to do. And maybe God wants me to leave home and step out and take a little bit of a challenge. And I have to be willing that maybe mom would be upset. I have to be willing to do whatever it takes to obey God's word. God's word says that you tell the truth. God's word says that you set limits. God's word says that sometimes you have to make sacrifices. I'll give you another verse right here. Matthew chapter 5, verse 29. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. The eye is not bad. The eye is good. Okay, and the eye can be used for many good things. The bottom line is, if the eye is taking me away from where God wants me to be, which is healthy, balanced, having proper boundaries in life, living for Him, not living for myself, not living for my parents, and not living for money, not living for whatever, but I'm living for God, may require some things to kind of be cut off. I urge you to take a look at all your relationships, okay, and all your families and friends and all that kind of stuff, and examine what's really the motive of what I do. Because that's really gets to the heart of it. Is it why do I do what I do? And is it to please others? Is it to live for myself? Or is it truly to live for God? That in the end makes all the difference in the world. Okay? Let's stand up for a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, dear Lord, because you love us, and because you take care of us, and because you have, you're always there for us, and you have a plan for us to live a life that's pleasing to you, and you never leave us like confused or in the darkness. Lord, I really pray that you would help each one of us to set the proper boundaries in all of our relationships, that the most important relationship, which is our relationship with you, that that can be like the primary thing that determines all the decisions we make and how we treat others and what it is that we do. Lord, we love you, and we don't want to ever step outside of what it is that you want us to do. Guide us in this process. Help us to examine ourselves, examine our motives, and to see where it is that we are pleasing to you and where we may not be pleasing to you. Pray and ask all this in the name of our Lord, our God, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, with the intercessions and prayers of our Holy Mother, St. Mary, St. Mark, and all of your saints. Hear us as we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.